Kia ora tēnā koutou katoa. Welcome to Emirates Podcast episode 414. Today is Tuesday, April 30th, 2024. I'm podcasting today because then I can have two episodes in the month of April. That doesn't matter to anybody or to the world, but it matters to me for some bizarre reason. So here we are. Now today is also the day after One News released a new poll on how the coalition government is doing. And I wanted to talk about that anyway, and I haven't had a chance to talk much about how it's been going. So today is that day. But first, a bit of slice of life sort of thing. And that is that I have mowed my lawns again. Ah, surprise! It seems to be all I do. Except that this time it was late. I think up to 2 weeks late. So it was quite long, and I needed to do all the edges as well. So yesterday, I wasn't feeling it. I had a really bad night's sleep Sunday night. But I went out anyway, and because it was supposed to be a sunny day, and today is a sunny day, so today was my backup. I went out a little after lunchtime, give the lawn a chance to dry out a bit after the overnight dew. And I started the line trimming, and the filament ran out, so I had to go put more in. So I did. And finished that, and then I got the mower, and that was hard work. It was partly because it was longer than usual, but also there's this area, which I've talked about before, which has a lot of kikuyu, which is a South African native. It's a horrible thing. It sends out these long, strong tendrils. That's how it spreads. And they're really hard to cut, even with secateurs or with a lawnmower. And they can get wrapped around the blade and nearly stall it. Also, it's so thick and matted, it feels like walking on pillows, that it can gum up the works underneath too. It's just too much for it to get rid of when it's set on mulching. So I have to stop and I have to push down on the handle to raise the blades up to give it a chance to spit everything out. So I had to push really hard using my legs, not just my arms, because it was so hard pushing it through. But I got there in the end. And when I was done, I thought, I just don't have it in me to do the back today. And I needed to recharge the battery anyway. It had been almost completely drained just by doing the front lawn, which is unusual. And so I didn't, and I knew I would do it today. Well, as it happens, I went to bed earlier for me last night. And so I had a decent night's sleep, which I hadn't the night before since I had slept so poorly. And I went out again after midday and did the edges, except for the fence line up the bank where Leo gossips with the neighbor dogs, because I just wasn't into it. And it wasn't as bad as it has been in the past. I thought, next time. So I didn't do that. Plus which, I knew I had to get the mowing done. And I was a bit under the gun, because if the battery ran out, I'd have to recharge it. And there's only so much time I've got to do that. So I went ahead and mowed it, and I got it done. And I didn't run out of battery juice, except that it was really low at the end of it. But it's done, and that's all over. And so, you know, thank goodness for that. But yesterday in particular, when I was just not feeling the effort here, I thought again, oh, I should just get a petrol-powered mower, because they've got a lot more grunt than mine does. But at the same time, the new battery ones also have more grunt than mine does. They're much more powerful. But they're also two or three times the price of what I paid. So, you know, swings and roundabouts. But the thing is that ordinarily it's not this hard to do. And especially if I plan ahead well enough and get enough sleep, I should be okay. But yesterday was not that day. I suppose all that really matters is that I got there in the end. So this new poll, to understand it, I need to back up a bit and talk about where we're at, and also to refresh your memory about what this coalition government, this coalition of chaos, as I and others refer to it, what it is. The lead party is the New Zealand National Party, which is a conservative party, center-right, more right than center probably, but center-right, which is led by this guy named Christopher Luxon, who used to be a corporate CEO. He was CEO of Air New Zealand, among other things. He's very wealthy. He owns 7 houses mortgage-free. I think some of them are rental properties. He always babbles on in corporate speak. He had released his government's priorities. I think it was the first part of this month. And he said that among other things, they were going to take decisions. Well, what the hell does that mean? Actually, one of the journalists from One News, TVNZ's news outlet, tried to explain it. I'll put a link to that in the show notes. It's entertaining. And the next biggest party is the ACT Party, which is a hard right party. They like to think of themselves as libertarian, but they're not. They're more just typical neoconservative, corporations are more important than people, trickle-down economics loons, in my opinion, in my description. But David Seymour, the leader of the party, and some of the far right, or hard right, rather, in New Zealand, were part of this international group called the Atlas Group. I don't know if it is Canadian or was just meeting there or what have you, but he was part of that, and it's a neoconservative group that wants to make things better for the rich people and for corporations. And but they try to do it. They talk about the language of opportunity and empowering people to make their own decisions, all the usual sorts of libertarian sort of sounding kinds of things, except that they don't want to abolish regulation and all that other sort of stuff. They want to use it to the advantage of corporations and to remove things that they feel make it harder to get to make profits. The other party is called New Zealand First, although pretty much everyone refers to it as Winston First because its leader, Winston Peters, is an egomaniac, quite frankly. And I don't think the party would exist without him. It is a populist party, a right-wing populist party, and he spent most of the campaign railing against woke and against trans people and against Māori, which is ironic because he himself is Māori. David Seymour, the leader of the ACT Party, is also Māori and also espoused racist policies, which he branded in other terms and sometimes tried to put it in ways that were more dog whistles than overtly racist, like Winston often was. So that's where we're at. Since the government has been in power, they've concentrated on repealing things that the previous Labour government did. They ordered government agencies to use the English name first instead of the Māori name, even though some of them had never had a English name or had never used it. And so it was a circus. But part of that, I resented that, not for the same reason as Māori people did, but because Christopher Luxon talked about it in a way that made it sound like New Zealanders were stupid and we couldn't learn the Māori name for an agency. Like, oh, it all sounds the same, like we're some stupid, racist, nativist idiots, and that we can't learn the proper names for agencies. And of course we can. We're not dumb. And especially younger people have grown up with a lot of te reo Māori. Older people, not so much. And that's really what Luxon and National were pandering to, the older and more privileged people who don't like all of this Māori stuff, you know, that sort. So they're doing all that. They're firing thousands of workers from the public service, not all of them in Wellington. They're probably all over the country, but primarily in Wellington, which is going to be a problem for that city because they won't be able to absorb all of those people into new jobs. And they've been cutting services and making weird changes. They repealed New Zealand's smoke-free legislation, which was a world first. It introduced a sinking lid on the number of places that could sell tobacco products and also gradually raising the age of legal ability to buy tobacco products so that people born in, I think it was 2014 or 2015 or something, I don't remember, some year like that, would never be able to buy tobacco products legally. And this government repealed that. And, you know, just purely by coincidence, absolutely by coincidence, the associate health minister who was driving that repeal just happened to have been a tobacco lobbyist in the private, before coming to parliament. You know, just coincidentally. The government is also allowing pseudoephedrine to be sold in pharmacies again. That was done by David Seymour, the leader of the ACT Party, who, you know, completely coincidentally, absolute coincidence, used to be a lobbyist for the pharmaceutical industry. And there are also another ACT MP is pushing changes to the gun control legislation that was put in after the Christchurch terrorist attack. And they claim that it's to make it easier and not easier so much, but fairer and more sensible and all that sort of thing. And that's being driven by a woman who completely by coincidence, absolute coincidence, was the only real gun lobbyist in New Zealand who met with the National Rifle Association right after the Christchurch terrorist attack to try to figure out how they would stop the gun control changes. And they failed, of course. So, you know, it's completely coincidental that these former lobbyists are driving policies that align with what they were lobbying for. It's absolute coincidence. I'm sure of it. So it's hard not to be cynical. So all of that's going on. They're cutting services for disability support. The other associate minister who was in charge of that, who was demoted by the prime minister earlier this week, I think it was, she was saying that the support workers who were getting these government subsidies were using it for manicures and overseas trips, which is flat out nonsense, to put it nicely. And so she was sacked. It just goes on and on and on. The prime minister was in Southeast Asia recently on a trade mission, and he kept making speeches where he said that New Zealand was open for business and was under new management. And one of the corporate leaders basically took him to task for that, saying, look, you're talking down New Zealand. The New Zealand trade effort has always been nonpartisan. It's built on successive administrations, successive governments of both parties, who try to advance New Zealand's economic agendas overseas. It's not a question of scoring political points overseas. In fact, that's just not the done thing. And he said, oh, that's not what I was saying at all, and all that. And, yeah, whatever. The thing of it is that because he's only ever worked in corporations, he doesn't really understand the world of politics or messaging. When he became prime minister, that he had the opportunity to live in what's called Premier House, which is the official residence of the prime minister in Wellington. Well, it does need to be refurbished. It's apparently hasn't been done in a very long time, and it needs a lot of work. He has an apartment he owns in Wellington, and so he was going to claim the allowance for that, which is $52,000 a year, $1,000 a week. But he owns it. He's not paying for the accommodation. And people question this. So hang on a minute. You've got seven different houses that you own without a mortgage. You keep talking about how times are rough for everyone, and you're going to take $52,000 from the taxpayer for this subsidy that you don't need? And he said, but I'm entitled. And everybody thought, yeah, that's putting it mildly. So he eventually backed down, and he said, no, he wouldn't take it. He wouldn't take the subsidy, and he would repay whatever he'd been given. But the larger point here is that he didn't grasp what a bad look it was, because having lived his whole working career in corporations, he didn't understand how easy it is to come off as offensive and entitled and arrogant and out of touch and all that other sort of stuff. So that's all the background. That's everything that we've gotten to so far. And all of these budget cuts, by the way, are because the National Party wants to cut taxes, which nobody asked for, by the way. But he is going to do that. And so he's raising fees and sacking workers and all this other stuff. Now, historically, the National Party's tax cuts always favor the rich and corporations. And it's difficult to imagine that they won't do that this time. They claim it won't, but they've claimed that in the past and weren't telling the truth. So who knows? So that's why he is doing a lot of what he's doing, and gives you a bit of a flavor of why everybody else is doing what they're doing. Winston First Party and ACT Party are putting through this thing they're calling fast-track legislation, and it's about development. Specifically, it's to allow new mining projects and other kind of questionable endeavors that will be able to bypass not just the normal planning processes, but also the right of local communities and ordinary people to have input on that, to say, hey, hang on a minute, we object to this. And it's basically steamrolling through development. And there's a lot of questions about this. The law hasn't been passed yet. I don't think it's even been introduced. They just say they're going to. But all three parties want it because they want to be able to do development faster, including mining. They want to open up more mining. So all of this is what's been going on. And in the latest poll from One News, they found that National had fallen 2% to 36% support. Labor was up 2% to 30%. The Greens are at 14%, up 2%, and ACT is down 1% to 7%. New Zealand First is currently on 4%, which down 2% to 4%, which means that they would be out of Parliament completely. Now, that requires another refresher. Under our system called MMP, people get two votes, one for the party they want to form government, and the second for the person they want to represent them in Parliament. And that's in a first-past-the-post election in individual electorates. But the makeup of Parliament overall is determined by the party vote. The percentage of seats that a party gets in Parliament is supposed to copy as closely as possible the percentage of the vote that they the percentage of the party vote that they got in the election. The problem here is that there's a minimum of 5% party vote you have to get to be in Parliament, or you have to win an electorate seat. New Zealand First cannot win an electorate seat. They're just not that popular. So they have to get at least 5% of the party vote. On this polling, they would be out of Parliament completely. Now, that's not surprising. Winston Peters has been in and out of Parliament so much that he must have his own private revolving door. And also, he's never had a successful coalition with National. So it's entirely possible that some of that's going on. Now, I think that the news report, the One News report about the poll, has a couple of paragraphs that help in understanding what's going on with the poll. And so I'm just going to read it directly from the website, and I'll put a link in the show notes. The result is not unprecedented for an incumbent government, although it has historically not happened so early in its tenure. It is similar to poll results for the Key and Clark governments in their third terms. The third John Key-led government was elected in October 2014, and by the July 2015 poll, their coalition would have been voted out. The third Helen Clark government was elected in October 2005, and by May 2006, their coalition would have been voted out, based on the poll results from that time. Now, what's interesting about that is both of them, it was in the third term before they lost support, and both of them lost the next election. The National Party lost the 2017 election to Labor, and Labor lost the 2008 election to National. So the fact that they're polling so low right now doesn't look good for them being able to win a second term. They could very well be the first single-term government in ages, so long that I don't even know when the last one was. So they're not in a good position, no matter how they try to spin it. This is not good. However, oh, and I should say, too, that on current polling, National would be out of government. The new government would be led by Labour, the Greens, and Te Pari Māori, which is at 4%, but they win electorate seats, so it doesn't matter. They get more seats that way. So that's an interesting thing. And you have to say, well, what's going on here? And I think that it is a bit of buyer's remorse, personally. I think that people are seeing all of this, all these policies that they don't agree with being pushed through, and they don't see the government focused on trying to help cost of living. They are clearly focused on doing things that help their rich mates, basically. They've put a lot of former National Party MPs in very cushy jobs. One of the things that I personally reacted negatively to is they hired a lot of them as consultants on various government projects or departments or what have you, programs is the word I'm looking for. And this was after spending like a year just harassing endlessly the Labour government for having too many consultants. And what do? They hire consultants. It's not so much about how much they're paid, although they're paid quite well. It's the fact that they were saying, oh, you don't need these consultants. And then they go hire former National Party MPs to be their consultants. It doesn't look good. And they hired Paula Bennett, who is a former prime minister under Bill English before the 2017 election. And they hired her to run PharmAC, to be a chairman of the board of PharmAC, which is our drug buying agency. That doesn't look good. So I don't know. A lot of this is just really, really dodgy. And the thing, though, is that Winston Peters has an uncanny knack for being able to come back again and again and again. So the fact that he's now polling less than 4% doesn't mean that he wouldn't get to 5%. But it's also certainly not certain that he will. I mean, he does overstay his welcome. But based on current polling, because there would only be two parties on the right, National and ACT, they would have between them what is it, 47 seats. And the Labor and the Greens by themselves would have 48, which is obviously one more, add into Parimari, and that is 63 seats in Parliament, and they would be government. So it's interesting times. I really have no idea what is going to end up happening with this. I don't know if, if they're going to just rally, come around. The government is, of course, downplaying it. They're saying, their polls are always up and down. Well, yeah, that's true, but it's also the most common refrain of a party that's down in the polls. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if this is going to be good, bad, or indifferent for them, but that's where we're at. So now you're up to date on everything that's, well, most everything that's been going on with the coalition of chaos in our government, and also even with me, development since I last recorded. But that's it for today. I'll talk to you soon. Kakete no. Bye. You can comment on this or any episode of the Airman's Podcast at airmanspodcast.com, where you can also leave a voice message. You can visit and comment on the Airman's Facebook page, or you can email me, with or without a voice message, at airmans@gmail.com. This podcast is a proud member of the Pride 48 Network and is produced and distributed under Creative Commons license. Complete details at the website.